Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 416. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
And no one else.
we have lost everybody. Yeah, it's just the two of us this week, which it's fine because we actually have quite a bit to talk about.
This is true.
Lots of games. And I guess we should start off with the Battlefield 5 beta, or is it V? Which one is it?
I've been going with Battlefield 5 because Battlefield V sounds really dumb.
I agree.
And what would the V stand for? I mean, victory?
I guess.
Vanquished, because that's how I feel most of the time when I play.
Yeah, there's lots of death.
Is it the fifth Battlefield game, though? How many Battlefield games have we had?
More than five, because there well...
I guess the sequel to Battlefield 4 was Battlefield 1.
Right.
So this should be like Battlefield 6 or Battlefield 2. I don't know. I don't know anymore. It doesn't make any sense.
And I guess like the Bad Company games don't really count.
Right. So if you're going to call it, in fact, if you're going to call the last game Battlefield 1, why can't this be Battlefield 2?
Right.
Is there already a Battlefield 2?
There is a Battlefield 2, and I think it's like near future.
So you do Battlefield 2, but with like the two dashes, like, you know, World War dash dash or II. I don't know. Is it going to confuse people? How many people are out there playing Battlefield 2 right now?
Probably not a whole lot. I think it was only for Windows, and it's like 13 years old. So
yeah. It's their own damn property. They own it.
Actually, you can't. I don't even think you can play it because checking the Wikipedia article here, it says on June 30th, 2014, the multiplayer master server was shut down alongside other GameSpy powered titles. So,
oh, it was a GameSpy game. Oh. Yeah.
So I mean, there might be private servers out there, but you can't just pop that disc in and play.
Well, so it's a dead game that they're not, that they don't want to confuse people about. I got it.
I guess. So it's Battlefield 5 ABV. there's two maps, I think.
Yes. Saw,
Rotterdam and
Narvik.
Yeah.
I think we're all of the opinion that the Narvik map was much more interesting than the Rotterdam map. Although the Rotterdam map, the more I played of it, the more it grew on me.
I like the Rotterdam map because there's a lot of verticality to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a city area, and there's lots of buildings you can like go in, and so that creates a like some tight quarters combat. Then there's like long open areas for sniping, and
the canals kind of funnel the action along, and then the bridge in the middle. It's a nice spot to like. You can almost, if you can hold that bridge, you could probably dominate the action pretty well. I had some pretty good matches sniping from the top of it. In fact, you could see a whole lot, a long way.
But yeah, the Narvik one is just, I think, visually way more impressive.
Yeah, it's more classic Battlefield too. Like it's open, everything's spread out. The vehicles come way more into effect there than they did doing the Rotterdam map. And
yeah, I don't remember seeing a whole, like, there was like maybe when we were in that hotel area.
Yeah.
Like there was like a tank that might have shown up out front, but I don't remember seeing a whole lot of vehicles when we played on the Rotterdam map. Game's a ton of fun though. And after that trailer, the original trailer, I was like, I don't know how I'm feeling about this.
But, yeah, I was not that excited for it. Like, it's a Battlefield game, and I like Battlefield games, so of course I was going to get it, but yeah. I wasn't, like, you know, over the moon about it. But it's, having played the beta now, I'm really excited. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah, and I, we weren't really sure how it was happening, but because Walt kept calling the things in, but
yeah.
It looks like the squad leader can call in like a special, like squad attack or something.
The V1 rocket.
Yeah, which was pretty cool.
pretty impressive to watch come down. And then I like how it altered the terrain.
Yeah, they took out that bridge and.
Yeah, and I actually have on video, it like smashes all the train cars on the bridge,
Oh, then
the railroad
they all
bridge.
shifted.
Yeah. They look all
Yeah.
broken afterwards.
Well, it's kind of like an evolution of that the Battlefield 4
Where you get
kind
like the
of.
flooding and stuff on some of the
Yeah.
maps, like halfway through.
This is more like player chosen, I guess.
Yeah, apparently he killed a lot of people with the first one too. Like
Yeah.
snap.
when he did it at Narvik, he only hit one person.
One person. That would make me very sad.
Made a really big bang, but
I want to know how many points he got for that. That's a big advantage to be the squad leader if you can call that thing in.
yeah.
Although you have to be the best squad to get it, right? I think there's.
Yeah, I don't know. We were either the best squad or like the number two squad, both times around. So we were doing pretty good.
He was saying you could call other stuff in with points too, so maybe the squad leader has a bunch of options when it's going along. I'd be interested to see.
We'll have to play a little more and like shift around. Like, all right, like you could be squad leader this time, but like bounce somebody off else in there so they get a chance to blow things up.
Right.
And I think we need to get a fourth, like a consistent fourth.
Yeah. Johnny Rando at fourth is never great.
Mean, we did.
We did have one good fourth for a couple rounds in a row who stuck with us and was not completely inadequate. But
And we did well enough.
yeah.
But I think if we had a fourth, we could definitely be very dominant on those fields. Because we, I don't know, we seem to work real well with Battlefield together. So,
I just do whatever Walt tells me to do. He's like, "All right,
yeah,
let's
just
see.
follow behind him.
All right,
Shoot
sniping
whatever
behind you."
moves.
I do think I like the change where now anyone can revive people. Although it is kind of cool how the medic does it super fast and everybody else is like a slow animation.
Yeah, that's nice. Like it, so anybody can pick you up, and
Yep.
it looks like the medic and support can like resupply
Yeah, I think so.
teammates. So that's kind of nice too.
Yeah, kind of give some like cross cl class options now, so not everybody's like stuck into one. Oh, I didn't like the fact that I'm so used to the one of the classes being like a tank killer class, and there didn't really seem to be one, or maybe they just didn't give us the equipment in the beta to be one. Like, there's no like
So
bazooka or Panzerfaust or any like anti-tank weapons for the infantry. It's just
right. The
dynamite.
it looks like the assault class does have a dynamite that you can stick to a tank or throw underneath it. I don't know how effective that is though.
I definitely want like a real weapon.
Yeah, I don't want to get close to a tank.
No, no, no.
Like Walt was always like, go out there, throw the dynamite on it. I'm like,
What?
no.
Because I like being dead. Is that volunteer for death?
We'll cover you. Yeah, okay. Thanks.
I did snipe a guy who was like in the turret of a tank, which I thought was pretty cool. Like the guy
Yeah,
walking on the top.
I watched you do that. That was pretty awesome. His body just like falls over limp.
Yeah.
I didn't see any planes where, I mean, maybe they don't have any for the two maps. I
No, they
don't know.
did.
Okay.
There's a. I know there were definitely bombers in Narvik. I saw them like dropping some bombs. I think I saw some fighters too. I don't think there's planes on the Rotterdam map. I
Should
think it
make
was just a
sense.
few
Like it's
vehicles.
not open enough really for that. So
Right.
I'd like to try out the planes. I'm terrible at flying them and always have been, but
Yeah, every Battlefield game, I'm like, should I try the plane? Should I try the? And I always end up like skipping it. I don't want to be in the plane. Keep me out. I'll be a gunner sometimes, but I don't want to actually
yeah,
fly the thing.
I've hopped into a plane with like a Don flying.
Oh God.
But yeah, I probably shouldn't fly it myself. But they always are fun to kind of go with that.
Yeah, I will occasionally like hop behind the wheel of a tank. I do find that fun sometimes, yeah. But
yeah, driving a tank is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm actually pretty excited for Battlefield 5 now. And
yeah, we were talking last week about it being delayed, and now I'm like sad that it was delayed a month.
Yeah, ultimately, I think it does work out, folks. Like, there's a bunch of like cool games coming out between now and then, and it'll actually give a couple weeks between Red Dead coming out and then Battlefield, and we can kind of wrap up the year with Battlefield. And
which is coming out? I didn't. This didn't cross my mind. It's the week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
like the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. That's from like a Nintendo area to release games.
Yeah. I mean, I never go anywhere for Thanksgiving, so I'm, you know, happy to sit at home and play video games if that's an option.
Yeah.
I feel bad for people who are traveling. No Battlefield for you. Yeah. Sit back. Although you'll have time to sit back while EA fixes the server issues that they inevitably will have.
Yeah, maybe that's why they're releasing Thanksgiving. Cause it's like, we know that there will be less people playing.
Maybe that's incentive for their engineers to get it right ahead of time.
Yeah, otherwise they're going to have to come in and work.
No Thanksgiving for you. Goodbye.
You don't want to work while we're while you're supposed to be eating turkey. I guess so Spider-Man comes out tomorrow.
In about half an hour.
You also played little bit of the other big game coming out tomorrow, NBA 2K19.
Yes. So every year, NBA 2K releases, or at least I think they've done it the last 3 years. They release a like quote unquote demo called The Prelude, where you can actually start your My Career, mode before you have the actual game in your hands.
So like a 10-hour
it's not even that. It's like to a defined point in the storyline and it just stops there. So I got to create my player and I got to like take him through his the opening of his career, which is actually an interesting story. So he's I guess he was a decent college basketball player and he declares for the NBA draft and goes undrafted.
Okay.
And ends up having to go play in China. So you enter your first Chinese game, and the coach, it actually fast forwards to the end of the game, and the coach is like shouting at you in Chinese, and of course you don't speak Chinese.
Right.
You have no idea what he's saying, and then he stops, and everyone's just staring at you, and you got the translator is like standing behind you, and he's like, he said, tie your shoes. So you kind of have to deal with like the fish out of water stuff. So while you're like playing, there's like three full games in China.
Okay.
And the entire telecast is in Chinese.
That's so something.
It's weird. It's so weird. I am dead certain they just like took the Chinese language announcing it, just moved it to like the English part of the game.
Right.
But it's so weird to just hear everything in Chinese and have no idea what they're saying. And then occasionally they'll mention your name and you're like, oh, they're talking about me. I wonder what they said. I hope it was good. So you play through like those couple games in China, and then you get called to come back to the United States. You get off the plane in LA, and that's where the prelude ends. So I have no idea what's next. I think they put you on like a D-League team, but I don't know. But I'm definitely not in the NBA yet.
All right, so what would – is that like a summer league type team or
– no, the D-League actually plays while the NBA is going on.
Okay.
So it's like the developmental league of the pros. And a lot of the NBA teams own affiliates in the D-League.
Okay.
And they you know, have players under contract playing there so that they can call them up during the season as needed. You know, if they have an open spot on their roster, somebody gets hurt or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or somebody's just like really good and they're like, oh God, I should have this player on my team. So I think, I mean, I've seen other trailers where you like join the Mad Ants, which is a D League team. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested to play more, but my player sucks at the moment. So he needs some upgrades. He needs some play, but he's not going to get some for a while because Best Buy decided not to send me a copy of the game.
Yeah.
It was funny because it was, I was probably not going to play NBA 2K at all this weekend because, you know, Spider-Man comes out tomorrow and I'm way excited for Spider-Man. But of course, I ordered the anniversary edition of NBA 2K, which also comes out tomorrow. But apparently, Best Buy did not get enough copies of it, or like a shipment was delayed or something. I don't know what happened. But they emailed me today. They're like, we're sorry. We can't send you this game. It's going to be another couple days. And here's a $20 credit.
Hey, you can't go wrong with that.
I was like, you're giving me a $20 credit for a game that was I wasn't going to play this weekend anyway. And it's going to be here early next week. I can live with that.
Yeah.
Heading into video game season.
Yeah, that's going to help out.
I'm trying to figure out whether I want to put it on Assassin's Creed or Valkyria Chronicles or what I'm going to do with it. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, now you have some decisions to make, though.
That's right. That's $20 and of bonus money. I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I will take it. Thank you, Best Buy, for screwing up in a way that
benefited you.
Like, of course, if we get to like Wednesday of next week and I still don't have NBA 2K, then I'm going to be pretty pissed off. But we'll see what happens.
Well, I hope it shows up. Did you get a chance to try out the EA NBA game?
NBA Live?
Yeah.
I have not. I try to stay away from those games. They look pretty bad. But...
I know there's a there's like a trial.
A trial, a demo.
On EA Access, yeah.
That is a game that should not exist. It's one of those situations where it's the best sports game on the market.
Right.
Like, I play a lot of sports games, and it's just by far, like as good as it gets. And for EA to put out this game, which always has these horrible graphic issues and doesn't have like the multitude of licenses that NBA 2K is able to nail down. It just it's funny, and they get slaughtered every year in the sales charts. I'm just. Why are they releasing this game? It doesn't make any sense to me. But I suppose I could play them all for free because they end up on EA Access like almost instantly.
Yeah, by January or February, that game will be free. So
yeah, I wonder if they work that into their budget now. They're like, just more content. You're just working on content for EA Access. Don't worry about it.
And I'm sure with especially with the EA Sports games. Like they thrive on the the Ultimate Team stuff.
Yeah.
So you can give that game away for free if you can hook somebody on buying card packs or whatever.
But it's funny because NBA 2K has a really really robust suite of that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally no reason to play NBA Live, literally none. Except that you can get it for free if you have EA Access.
Right. Yeah. There's that. Anything else going on? I know we have not gotten a chance to play Spider-Man yet.
So. Yeah, I've played a little more Banner Saga. That game is depressing. Like the story is like everyone's like one of your main characters gets his arm lopped off and you're just like, great. Another.
Yeah, that's not. And there's three of those games, so.
Yep.
Are you still on the first one?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm about halfway through it. I'm in chapter 5. I think there's 7 chapters. The weird tactical combat is growing on me a bit now that I understand it. So that I've got that going for me. I would say some of the units that you can have on the field, they just seem really weak. Like, why would I use this unit ever?
Right.
And it, the game does not explain itself at all. So I've been using a lot of wikis to figure out, like, units have special abilities and what does this mean? Like, what does this ability actually do and what? How should I best use it? And it's just annoying that I can't, like, look that up while I'm playing.
Right. Yeah, that would be nice if you could have all that information right there.
Because there are units, I swear, they have a special ability. I'm like, I never use it because I have no idea what this thing you're telling me it does means. But
all right.
But the ones I have figured out are good. So.
I got a chance to play two games that Jeff has been hyping up. One he's been hyping up for the last few weeks. Him and Pete, actually, Dead Cells. That game's really good. They're pretty much spot on with that. It plays real well. It's super pretty looking. It's highly addictive. It does suffer for me from that you're not always making progress.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's a run-based game, so there are times when you're just going to die and you're not going to make any progress at all because you're going to lose all your cells, which are kind of your upgrade currency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's disappointing. Like, it's not even kind of like when you die in Dark Souls and you lose all your souls. Like, with that, you can at least go back and pick them up.
You're right.
Here, if like you die with like 40 or 50 cells, they're gone. Like, start back over.
Great.
Every time you complete a level, you get like an opportunity to one, put your cells into upgrades and stuff that do carry over minimally. Like, you can upgrade your health flask. I have it, so right now I can use it twice in a run. But there's like you can get it up to a third. It just starts costing more and more cells to do. Some stuff seems like it's beneficial to use, like the health flask or the money pouch. And then there's like some stuff that I don't know, not really sure what it does yet. I haven't come across it. Right. I've gotten pretty far. At least according to what people have told me. I think I got up to within almost to the second boss. There's only three bosses. And once you beat the second boss, then there's like one more level and then the final boss. I got up just almost up to the second boss in a couple runs, but I haven't quite got there yet. And some of it seems like I need to get these runes, which are abilities that you'll have. Like, they just stay with you.
Oh, so that also, so like the other upgrades, you'll have them forever.
Yeah. So there's a, like these, you'll be able, there's like a double jump. Maybe it's not a double jump. It's like a wall climb or something that I still need. So like, I see areas on the map that I can't access yet, but I don't know where this. Like, I know I need something to get me that ability, but I don't know where it is yet. There's a bunch of stuff like that. You can use like teleportation devices, but you need to have the special rune. So you have to find those first, and they're scattered throughout the different levels. It's quite good. Like, I spent all weekend last weekend just kind of playing it and the messenger, to the point where my thumbs actually hurt, like, which I haven't done that since, like, maybe back in, like, the Nintendo Entertainment System days or, like, the 16-bit era. Like, it's been a long time since I played a game quite obsessively like that.
Are you playing on the Switch?
So I have it on the Switch, but I also bought it on the Xbox because I wanted achievements. So I have both. Like, I've been bringing the my Switch with me to work.
So you can play.
Yeah, I play it like at lunch, along with the messenger, and then when I'm home, I've been playing on the Xbox. I would wait. Like, I think 25 might be a little steep for it.
Yeah.
I've certainly gotten my money's worth out of it, but if you're not like a big fan of action platformers like that, I still think it's worth playing. It just might be one like, hey, wait for a sale or something.
Right.
The pixel art in it is great though. It really is. It's well animated and very detailed.
Is it a game I should play for Game of the Year? Okay.
I would see. Pete and Jeff are going to say yes.
That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, I think it's really good. Like, and it's definitely up high on my list. I just don't know if it's like something I can recommend to everybody.
I don't think it's the type of game I would normally play.
Yeah. And the only reason that it's because games where like they just end and you don't really carry over your progression aren't really games I like, but everybody had been talking about it so much. I was like, you know, I'll give it a try. And it really is. It's better than most of those other types of games. We'll see how I feel in like a couple weeks when I haven't made it past like the second boss or anything.
Right.
But right now it's still fun. Like trying to like, I still have upgrades to get and like stuff to spend my cells on. When I get to a point where I'm just not making any progress, it might drop off very quickly for me. But right now, you know, I played maybe about 8 or 9 hours of it, and it's quite good. The other one similar to that is The Messenger, but this one is linear. Like there's a very distinct start point and an end point. There's a story involved in it. Jeff kind of described it as like Ninja Gaiden 4, which I think is a really good explanation for it. It's a 2D like ninja game, very challenging platforming. The combat with the regular enemies isn't very like they're kind of just in the way, but the platforming itself is quite challenging and requires some like precision jumping and using special skills to get across the field. And then the bosses are kind of like the big draw. They multiple forms, multiple attacks that you have to kind of figure out the patterns, and they're huge. Like they generally take up the whole screen, or the way that you fight them takes up the whole screen. So that game is
around.
Yeah. Like they move around or you need to move. Like the last one I beat was this like a very traditional looking, like Chinese dragon. Like the long, like kind of snake looking dragons.
Right. Right.
And it comes through and you're on these clouds and it'll come through and it'll go through the clouds and knock like that. You can walk on the clouds, but once he knocks it out, it then becomes like a pit. So it'll actually clear off all the clouds except for the one end. And then you have to use your special jump skill, like jump attack skill on his fireballs to get over and hit him, so the clouds will come back and you can land. Like there's some really cool boss fights designed around that. So it's a ton of fun. There is, I think Jeff spoiled it for us last week. It shifts from like an 8-bit style to a 16-bit style. I haven't seen, like Jeff said, it kind of moves into like a Metroid type game. I haven't seen that yet. But it definitely does move from like these kind of simplistic black backgrounds to like very beautiful, like 16-bit styled backgrounds once it makes that switch to the future. But I'm still experiencing it as very linear. Like you go through a level, you fight a boss, start a new level. And that game is quite fun. And I've been playing that on the Switch. I think that's, you can only play it on the Switch and PC. So
See, that sounds more interesting to me than
And like, if you were like, I want to buy one of these, which one? I would suggest the Messenger. Like that, that to me is the better game. Only because like, I seem, you're always making progress like as you go through it. And it's actually very forgiving with its checkpoints. Like there are checkpoints throughout the level, and when you hit the checkpoint, it saves. And when you die, you'll respawn at that checkpoint. So you're never like losing tons of progress when you die. But you will, like, it actually keeps a running tally of how many deaths you have. I think I've died 160 or 170 times. And it, there's a great sense of humor to it. Like, so this little guy, he revives you. And when he revives you, he sticks around for a little bit and steals basically your currency that you collect for, like, basically you have to pay a fee to him when you die. So that's like the penalty, is like you have to pay a little bit of money towards it. But he's always like, hey, if somebody's watching, you can just say you wanted to die so that I would show up. And or you've died 180 times. What's wrong with you? Are you using the right controller? Because you seem to be dying a lot. And then there's other characters you could talk to, and some of their stuff is pretty well written and funny, and it looks back at like the 8-bit, 16-bit era, but also kind of like makes fun of like games in general, and has a really cool sense of humor, and it's quite fun. That one's $20. It's on Switch and PC. I really hope that that one ends up coming out on like Xbox and PS4, because I think that's one that like more people should get a chance to play.
If it were on Xbox, I would get it right now.
Yeah, it's like if it were there, I would probably buy it again, just to have it. Like, I think it's really, really good. And that's really it, I think, for us for games. I don't know if there's anything really big news wise. PAX just happened, so.
Kingdoms of Amalur,
right,
was purchased by THQ Nordic.
Yeah,
they own the IP now. That's really exciting.
Yeah,
that game was great. I was so sad. I wasn't sad that Kurt Schilling's company went down because he ran it terribly, which he kind of deserved. But that franchise deserved another like iteration.
Yes. Like, and it actually sold, like, I think it sold almost 2 million copies.
Yeah, it sold really well, and it was really well reviewed, and just a really interesting and fun RPG, and just kind of died because that company died, and no one could, like, Kurt Schilling really seemed to want to sell that IP for a lot, and it wasn't really worth that much because they just had that one game.
Right. which, I mean, that game was, like, Reckoning was like what Fable always should have been.
Right.
It was so good. I really liked it. I am really happy that somebody finally picked it up. THQ Nordic is picking up a bunch of like weird old IPs. Like they picked up this last week. I think they picked up Time Splitters.
Yeah. I mean, I think their big thing with them is like a HD remaster. And yeah. I would play that game again. Like I don't remember the plot at all at this point. Like it'd be a new experience. I do remember being able to like completely respec my character and the combat being really like fun and hard hitting. And there's not that many like classic RPG type games out anymore. So it's kind of an empty genre. If you gave me that game again, I would get it in a heartbeat.
Yep. They've been pretty reasonable in their pricing of their remasters too, right? Like, they just released the Red Faction Guerrilla.
Yeah, that was $30.
$30. $30 for, I would pay $30 again. You get me this game, maybe up-res it a bit, make it look a little prettier.
The the Darksiders games were really cheap too. I think I got the two of them for like $20.
That's nice. Yeah, do that and then get us a new game in a couple of years.
Yeah. Or not. I mean, if you can't do it, but I'll start with the remaster and move from there.
Yes.
See if
Just
people
to
actually want it.
be able to play that game on a modern console, because I don't think that it'll ever go backwards compatible.
No.
So, yeah, I very much like you, very excited for that. It's going to be a good time. Good pickup for THQ Nordic. I'm interested to see what they do with that. Oh, and Polygon dropped review scores.
Yeah, they said something about they'd been testing it all summer, and I was like, "You have? I had no idea."
Yeah, I don't really read the reviews. It was one of those things like when I would click on their site, and if a review was up and it had a score and it was a game I was interested in, I would take a look at it, but I have not clicked on any reviews in quite some time on that site, probably because they haven't had scores, so I don't even know
Right.
that they're reviews.
Right. That is that's a problem. I mean, I guess there are some people who really like scores. Like I don't care one way or the other. Like if I'm really interested in a game, I'm probably gonna buy it anyway. I will say if I'm iffy on a game, a review score can flip me one way or the other. And I mean, their system is gonna be like, all right, we recommend, we don't recommend, but what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Everything fits into like one of they'll probably have like some sort of special editor's choice category or whatever. So everything's going to fit into like one of three categories, and I just don't. I at this point, you just write the text and don't have that other stuff because I just don't see the point of it.
Yeah, there's no real like if your text is strong enough, you shouldn't need to have something that says this is Polygon recommended.
Right, you
So,
should be able to read the review and know
yeah.
that.
But good luck to them.
Sure. I mean, if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
My guess is that they probably aren't seeing a ton of traffic on the reviews anyway.
Right.
And this is just kind of their way of probably moving away from doing formal reviews and allowing like guys like Ben Kuchera and to just kind of write commentary pieces
Right.
on them.
I mean, Kotaku's been doing that forever, but that site is like all commentary now anyway, so.
Yeah. Oh, well, speaking of Kotaku, they wrote a commentary piece on the Battlefield beta, which none of which I agreed with.
Oh,
Like,
really?
yeah, they're like, oh, we're really scared for this game, and seems very slow, and I guess they didn't like the change to the ammo. How you only carry like limited ammo and
I never ran out. I probably because I died so quickly. So
yeah, I think like time to kill has increased a lot in this game,
yeah.
so
I did feel like when I was sniping and I had some like longer lives, I never ran out of ammo. So
yeah, so maybe they're just that much better though.
maybe. Yeah, they're just killing everyone. I bowed at Kotaku's superiority
Yes.
in Battlefield.
Well, we will have Spider-Man next week.
Yeah, maybe NBA 2K
Yeah,
if we
maybe NBA.
arrive.
I think all of us will be playing Spider-Man though, so we will probably have a very in-depth conversation on Spider-Man. And then a week after that is we'll have Tomb Raider, so
I didn't realize Tomb Raider, it's a week from Tuesday or is it a week from
it's a week from it's the
the
14th.
14th? Oh, so
Yeah.
it's Friday.
Yeah, so they're back to back.
Maybe I'll spend my $20 on Tomb Raider, although it does seem a little weird to me to get Spider-Man and then a week later get another open world game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and then get another open world game when Assassin's Creed comes out.
And then another open world game when Red Dead comes out.
And then another one when Fallout comes out. Oh God,
Yeah.
what have I done? Why are all these games open world? What is happening?
I think, I mean, is Tomb Raider confirmed to be Like open world, or is it more of that like kind of what they did with with Rise of the Tomb Raider?
I don't know.
Where it's like that faux open world, like they give you like a large area and some you can do some like subquests, but
right,
it's still more of a linear experience.
That game lost me. I hope the new one catches me in some. I was planning on getting it on Black Friday though. I don't think I'll get it at launch.
Yeah,
can't play everything.
No, there we are getting to that point where there's too much stuff.
I think I'm slightly more interested in Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Okay.
That game, like, I really liked the original when it came out, and I just there's not a whole lot of other games like that, so I think I'd rather have that.
Yeah, that'll definitely be something different from the other AAA kind of space.
Yeah.
For this fall, there's lots of open world kind of games and shooters,
strategy-esque.
Yeah,
be interesting.
So we will definitely have Spider-Man. So expect a big conversation on Spider-Man next week, and we'll be back.